In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. My voice is a little raspy, so I'm doing the best I can. I'm reading from Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. But before that, it says, afterwards he appeared to the 11 themselves as they sat at table, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. You see, Mary Magdalene had said that she saw the Lord because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to the whole of creation. Let me tell you that that is the mandate to the church, to go into the whole world to preach the gospel to the whole creation. That is the mandate of the church. The church, by its very nature, has to be missionary. It has to be missionary. It's not only that we preach in Boston, but we want to spread the word of God throughout all the earth. Not because we want to make our name great, but we want to profess the faith in Jesus Christ and call people to believe in Jesus Christ. Go into the whole of creation. The person who believes, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Now, I want you to hear that 17th verse again. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? And the scripture says these signs will accompany those who believe in the name of Jesus. They will cast out demons. I remember when we went to Rhode Island, I remember it was very vivid. I was eating my ham sandwich, and this young boy comes up to me and says, Father Tom, I want you to pray for me. And I said to him, what? There were two or three boys that came up, and he said, I have a lot of lust. And I said, well, you're looking at on the internet, you know, because that is deadly. So anyway, I began to pray with the three boys that the Lord would deliver them from this lust. We prayed, and they took Jesus as their own Savior, and they asked for forgiveness. And I just said to the three boys, just start coughing a little. Well, in 10 seconds, the three boys are on the floor. They're on the floor, and they're letting out all these demons. They're coughing them up. And they're not coughing now because I said cough, but they're coughing up all these demons, and all this gross stuff came up. These are the signs that shall follow those who believe in the name of Jesus. They shall cast out demons. And you know what? After it was all over, their faces were shining like the sun. Their faces were shining like the sun. They will speak in new tongues. Those who believe in Jesus will speak in new tongues. Jesus gives the gift of tongues with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This gift of tongues is a gift of prayer. You edify yourself by praying in tongues. I've often said to you, if you pray in tongues, you need to do it 7 minutes a day at least. Just 7 minutes a day. Just pray in tongues. Let the Spirit of God pray through you, for we know not how to pray. So he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we would be able to pray. And it's a gift of prayer. It's a gift of prayer. I never forget Sister Rita Drinkwater, God rest her soul. She said, I don't need that gift. And I said to her, Sister, then you don't need to pray better. And that really convicted her. Because she was a contemplative nun, and she said, I didn't need that gift. I said, then you don't need to pray better. Well, everyone needs to pray better, that's for sure. And when she was on a retreat, she started speaking in other languages. She started praising God in tongues. If you have the gift of tongues, I want you to use it for 7 minutes a day, just praying in tongues, just edifying yourself. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Now, this picking up serpents has nothing to do with playing around with snakes. That's stupid. But I'm going to read from Acts 28. It's about Paul on the island of Malta. After we had escaped and then learned that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and it was cold. Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire when a viper, a snake, came out, and because of the heat, had fastened on the hand of Paul. When the natives saw the creature hanging from Paul's hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." Paul, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They waited, expecting him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time, they saw no misfortune came to Paul. They changed their minds and said that he is a god. Well, you see, it's foolish. These people are just foolish. But Paul was doing the work of God, and no snake was going to get in the way. No viper was going to get in the way. No, he didn't pick him up, but the snake came at him. And I'm telling you, God gives that gift to the preacher. When the preacher is out preaching and the enemy wants to destroy the preacher, I'm telling you, God gives that gift, especially when we are missionary-minded. So we'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents and drink any deadly poison. It won't hurt them. Now, then the next, they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. He who believes and is baptized and who will be saved will do these signs. If you believe, laying hands upon the sick, and they will recover. Well, there are a lot of people that say, you know what, God does not do that anymore. He finished doing that with the last apostle. Well, I'm telling you, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever he did yesterday, he wants to do today. And whatever he does today, he wants to do forever, because he is the same. And signs like these should follow those who believe, not only the preacher, but those who believe. They will lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. This is amazing. This is amazing. I remember Joseph. Joseph had fallen out of a car, and he was a junior police officer. And I got a call from the chief of police to go pray with Joseph. So I remember this Saturday. It was very vivid. I went to the Mass General Hospital, and I was singing in the car just softly. There's a sweet anointing flowing into this place. I was just singing, and I felt the presence of God, and I knew that when I saw Joseph, I was going to start singing. And I said to him, "Joseph," and he was hooked up to every wire, every machine. He wasn't breathing on his own. He was scheduled to die. And I said to him, "Joseph, my name is Father Tom, and I'm going to sing you a song." And I sang for 45 minutes, just laying my hands upon Joseph very gently and praying as I sang that the Lord would just wake him up. And you know what? The next day, he woke up out of the coma. The doctor said it was totally impossible for the injury he had had. They expected him to die. I'll never forget when he woke up. His mother came into the room, and Joseph said, "Mama, how are you?" And the mother, an Italian mother, started screaming, says, "Mama, I'm not dead. I'm alive." That's what happened to Joseph. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. I'm telling you, that's the way it should be. Then there was baby Antonio, that I received a telephone call early in the morning that I should go to a certain hospital. I believe it was Brigham and Women's. And I went with Eleanor, and I went with another priest, and we found baby Antonio, and he was born brain dead. That's what they said. And they wanted to take off all the tubes from him and just let him die naturally. And I just remember looking at his grandmother saying, you've got to give baby Antonio a chance. Give him 2 weeks. And if he's still brain dead, then take the machines off him. But we're going to pray. And we started singing, and we started singing, and we started singing, and we started singing. There was no response from baby Antonio. No response. We started singing. That was on a Monday. We left, and I just said, just let baby Antonio stay for 2 weeks. They wanted to pull off all the machines because he was a poor baby. You know, this come from a Spanish family. Anyway, on Wednesday, he started to whimper. It was the first time that he whimpered and started to eat, started to take in a little formula. By Monday, he was home. They wanted to take this baby and kill this baby because he was brain dead. Well, you know what? If he was brain dead, he's no longer brain dead. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus does when we lay hands upon the sick and we believe and we sing. You know, Father Matthew says, you know, when he prays with people, he sings. He begins to sing. Father Eric begins to sing because when we sing, the anointing comes. The anointing comes. The anointing that helps us, the anointing that heals, the anointing that does wonderful and awesome things. Then there was a man in Maine who came from us. He was healed twice of cancer when he came to us. It's amazing. Just by laying hands upon the sick and believing, and believing. Then there was the time in Phoenix, there was a blind person, and she couldn't see. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and I had her just walk away from me. And how many fingers did I have up? She said, one. Then I did it again, and she said, three. And, you know, it was wonderful. She went to the opposite end of the hall, and she could see. She could really see. You know what she said to her husband? I'm going to drive home tonight. My Lord. My Lord. The blind shall see. The deaf shall hear. And the dead shall be raised. The blind shall see, the deaf shall hear, and the dead shall be raised. Jesus said that. And this is just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. Those who believe in Jesus should be laying hands upon the sick and watching them get better. I remember that we were in Phoenix. There was a man that had a walker, an old man, and we prayed, all of us prayed for him. And I took him by the hand, and we walked, and all of a sudden he throws my hand away, and he starts walking without the walker and without my hand. He was completely healed that day in Phoenix when we had that healing service. Oh, yes, this is what the Lord knows how to do, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What about the man who came from came to the espousal retreat house? He came with a walker or with a cane, I don't remember. It was either or. But he said to me when we prayed with him, I'm going to get a miracle tonight. I said, thank God. I said, how do you know? He says, because I came with a miracle in my pocket, and I'm not leaving here until that comes about. And you know what? There he was walking up and down the aisles without his cane or without his walker. I'm telling you, he went dancing that Friday night, and people wanted to know what happened to him that he didn't have his cane. And he said, I threw my cane away because the Lord healed me. And the people wanted to know how. And he started to tell them how the Lord healed him. This is wonderful. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. Not only the priest, not only the minister, not only the sisters, but those who believe in Jesus. When was the last time you laid hands upon the sick? When was the last time that you followed the dictate of Jesus? You see, you are not responsible for getting them better. You are responsible for laying hands upon the sick and praying and believing, declaring healing and believing. You're not responsible to get the people better. You can't do that. I can't do that. There are many people that I prayed with that they didn't get better. But I'm telling you, there are many people that I did pray with that did get better. When Father Mark brought the woman to me who had cancer in the stomach, we started to pray and pray and pray. And the Lord, I saw a steel wool in my mind. And I said, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out. And you know, when she went to the doctors and she had one of those tests, CAT scan, the doctor said, you have no cancer in your stomach. It looks like it was scoured out. God knows how to do things. He just needs a willing vessel that will stretch forth their hand and pray for the sick. What if they're not healed? Well, I'm telling you, pray anyway. It's not your job to heal the sick. It's your job to lay hands upon the sick. Every believer who believes that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead is called to lay hands upon the sick. Then there was Jean. Jean came, and her mother was with her, and her husband was with her, and she was given 3 months to live. And the only thing I said to Jean is, I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to believe God's going to heal you, but you go for your test, you go for your chemo, you do what you need to do. She said, the doctors told me I only had 3 months to live. I said, well, you know, the doctors are not God, and neither am I. But I can promise you this. Every time you come here, I will pray with you, if only for a minute. She came twice a week. That was 6 years ago. She's cancer-free. My Lord, she didn't need to call the lawyer. She didn't need to get her things in order. God healed Jean. And how did Jean get to our little church called the Holy Rosary? How did Jean get to the Holy Rosary? Because her friend was a head nurse in a hospital or in a nursing home. And there was a young man who came on a Saturday night in a wheelchair filled with cancer, and we prayed over him, and that cancer was completely healed. He left the nursing home. We didn't know about the young man. But the young man was completely healed. I don't even remember praying with the kid with the wheelchair. I don't remember that, you know, because we're praying for the people on a Saturday evening. And God healed that young man. And the head nurse said to Jean, go to that little church called Holy Rosary at the end of the world in Winthrop and see what's going to happen. And you know what? It happened. It happened. He touched him. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me, sing along with me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. For he touched me. Let him touch you now. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Now I know he touched me and made me whole. The Lord is healing minds now. M-I-N-D-S. The Lord is healing minds at this point. touching people so that these minds work right without sickness, without depression. The Lord is healing minds. He's also healing arms right now. Try to move your arm without pain because he's touching you. Move that arm without pain. Move that shoulder without pain. Move that arm without pain. Jesus is touching the people now. He's touching the people. Move those fingers now without pain in the name of Jesus. Be healed by the power of the blood. By the power of the blood, be healed now in Jesus' mighty name. Wrists. He's healing a wrist right now. Move that wrist right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. My voice is awful, but you know what? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy, knees are being healed, that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Put your hands on your stomach. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the healer. So afterwards he appeared to the 11 themselves, and as they sat at table, he upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Don't be unbelieving people. Just believe everything Jesus says. Because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. Oh yes, that Jesus Christ has died. He has died for our sins and for our sicknesses. Speak it to the whole creation that he was buried and on the third day rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Go to the whole creation, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And these signs will accompany those who believe. That's you who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands upon the sick, and they will recover. Father, in the name of Jesus, continue your healing work through the ministry. You promised through John Paul Jackson that people would be healed via the airwaves. I thank you for that prophetic word, and I'm standing on it, Lord, that people are being healed right now as we sing, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Believe it now. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. So we had a little healing service on the radio today. And I need to hear from people because our bills astronomical. In WEZE and WROL, it's almost $100,000 a year. I need to hear from people so that we can stay on both of those stations. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Tomorrow, Thursday, I will be at St. Helens Catholic Church at 5510 West Cola Street, Glendale, Arizona. Tomorrow, Thursday, at 3 o'clock, I will be at St. Helens Catholic Church, inside the church, at 5510 West Cola Street in Glendale, Arizona. I hope you're going to be there. I hope if you're in Phoenix or in Arizona, you're going to join us tomorrow, Thursday, at 3 o'clock. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.